Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, I'll be interviewing our guest, Karen Leffler, and we'll be talking about her spiritual photography, as well as some interesting experiences associated with healing. But before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I've been very loquacious, talkative.
Good. What
good.
To be.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Steve. And I'm looking forward to the show. Very much so. And I am intuitive, psychic, well-versed in tarot, empath, individual reader. And I love my work. I must do it. I'm also at PsychicAccess.com with all the rest of my lovely co-host. There you have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. It's wonderful to have you with us as always, and we'll look forward to your input about the spirit photography and healing later on. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really interesting show because Karen's had some very interesting and unusual exposure to healing, and also her spirit photography is very, very interesting. So it's going to be a real fun show. Well, let me ask you, Brenda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I narrowly escaped sunstroke today, but I'm okay. It's just so hot. It's like living on the sun here in Wildomar, California.
Is it really?
But, oh my goodness, it's triple digits today.
Gosh.
I know. Wow. But I survived, and I'm here, and I'm looking forward to your show. Looking forward to your guest.
Yes, she's fascinating. Well, it's good to have you as always, Brenda. Brenda, can you tell us a little about your work as well, please?
I'm a predictive psychic. I read the tarot, the crystal ball, and the playing cards. I also read palms too, which we can't usually do, you know, online. But I'm hopeful that one day we'll be able to. And I work with everybody at PsychicAccess.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Brenda, and hope you enjoy the show. We'll look forward to your input later on as well. And Stephen, how are you?
Doing well. I hope you are too.
I'm very well, very well. Looking forward to our evening as always. So Stephen, can you tell us about your work?
Absolutely. I am a tarot reader and a hermetic astrologer at PsychicAccess.com. I consider myself a hermetic occultist in general, a hermetician. And what I do is I blend astrology and tarot and numerology, among other occult sciences and tools, to really probe and dig at the client's problem, producing clarity and solutions that the client can act on to achieve lasting relief and change and as regards the problems. And I specialize in those long-running projects that seem to have eluded solution for a long time. And I enjoy what I do over there at PsychicAccess.com with all you lovely people.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. Let me tell you a little bit about Karen before I bring her into the conversation. Karen's a professional architectural and freelance photographer from Penn Valley in California. And her publications include The House That Jill Built, a collaborative effort with fellow Buddhist practitioner Judy Ostro, and John of God, the Brazilian healer, who's touched the lives of millions. She co-authored that with Heather Cumming. Karen travels the world taking photographic journeys to temples and sacred sites in Nepal, India, South and North America, meeting and studying with masters such as His Holiness Pino Rinpoche, Ogyen Tulku Rinpoche, and Chogyal Namkhai Norbu. And from these experiences, she gives passionate photo talks on the universal living spirit energy. If you would like more information about Karen, please visit her website, which is Karen Leffler. Leffler is L-E-F-F-L-E-R, photos.com. So Karen Leffler, photos.com. Well, Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's great to have you with us, Karen. I'm really excited to have you on the show because, really, spirit photography is not a subject that we've discussed in the past, but it's also a subject I'm really interested in, and we're interested as well to ask you about John of God. So my first question for you, Karen, is how did all of this begin?
Well, it began at John of God's. I was not a photographer and had no interest in it, I didn't think. I was a realtor, actually, when I was standing in front of the entity, Dr. Valdovino. And he said through the interpreter, Heather, who I wrote the book with, where's the professional photographer? And so I'm excited. I got my Instamatic around my neck, and I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. There's going to be a real professional photographer here taking photos. And she turns to me, and she says, he means you. And I said, me? And he looks at me, points right to me, and he says, take my photo. And it wasn't like, please take my photo. It was, take my photo. And so I got on one knee like the good ex-Catholic child that I am and took three of the worst pictures I've ever taken in that they were all out of focus because my hands were shaking so much. But the beauty of them, the richness of the love that is within the entity was in those photos. And interestingly enough, of all the photos that I have, when Oprah did her documentary on John of God, she chose one of those first three, though I rarely show them to anybody. So that's how it began, and definitely it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. I've even taken it now into videography, hoping to share some of the special people in our area here in the Grass Valley area in California and the work that they're doing.
It's wonderful. I have a collection of photographs and artwork with spirit faces in them, Karen. And so I wanted to ask you, which piece or which photograph do you feel is most evidential, or which one are you proudest of?
You know, that's really hard to say. I love them all. And I love them even when they don't show the spirit energy, especially around John of God or any of the spiritual work that I do, even my artwork that I do of Buddhas. There are so many special ones, but the very first one that the entities ever gave me is one of a huge arc of light, and it's in our book on John of God. You know, Simon & Schuster decided to choose a number of spirit photos, and I felt very blessed that they would do that. And they chose one of these. When I showed it to the entity, and I wasn't aware of this so much at the time, the spirit, Dr. Augusto, said to me, see the power of crystals. And there was always this wonderful, beautiful crystal on the altar, but I didn't really know the significance of it. And what it was doing in amplifying the spirit energy, the light energy, which we can't see normally with our eyes, was so self-evident in these photos. And not only was the energy arcing and radiating out, but the energy was so powerful that in my camera, even though some things were in focus, there was an out-of-focusness that didn't come from shake. It simply came from the energy being as powerful as it was. And the camera received it through the hands that I holding it. But it was definitely a gift of spirit, and I'll ever be grateful for that first one.
That is wonderful. And Karen, do you just feel led to photograph certain things at certain times? Does spirit guide you to to capture certain moments or certain images?
Surely. When I get behind a camera, I'm not me. It's as if the photos create themselves. It's the most wonderful feeling of being at one and at peace, and of just being excited, a gift of excitement that I'm there in this rich energy of love, and that I can capture that in the moment. I'm not even thinking. There's no thought. There's just this deep reverence and love in the moment, and the photos get taken. And afterwards, I'm as excited to see them as the next person, because I don't really feel like I photograph. I do it. It's being done through this vessel, if that makes any sense.
It does, absolutely. It seems that you're intuiting, you're connecting with spirit and feeling guided to photograph.
Yes, it's about the beauty, you know. It's about the richness of love in the moment, and all of a sudden I'm clicking, and then I'll stop, you know. I'll wait, and then all of a sudden I'll see something that excites me, and I'll take a photo. And oftentimes at John of God's, when I was in the entity's spirit in the room in the current that the entity is in, I would be next to him for hours and hours at a time. And Jose Benciado said to me one day, I took this beautiful photo, again, of the altar crystal, but it wasn't with this huge arc of light. Rather, what I saw in it was a rainbow. And when, for some reason, I showed that photo to Jose Benciado, the entity in John of God's body, and he said, I gave you the intuition to take that photo. And he said, do you see inside it, Francisco Xavier, St. Francis Xavier, put his image in this crystal on the altar 500 years ago. And he showed me where it was. I didn't see it, of course, at all. And he says, even Medium Joal, John of God, has never seen this. And those are the kind of gifts that were just, I was blessed to have happen, and that I've been able to share with the world.
Well, it's wonderful, Karen, and I've seen some of the images, and I've done some research on John of God, but for the benefit of our listeners, I wanted to ask you if you could also tell us a little about John of God, because some of them may not have heard of him.
John of God is one of the remarkable trance mediums that lives in Brazil, and because there's a melding over these last 150 years of the Portuguese coming and the black slaves that they brought and the shamans from the Amazon, the melding of those three religions of the Catholicism and what the other two richnesses of their religion, the three of them melded into spiritualism and where they talk to the dead, basically. And even though some of us may think that's strange, you know, you have to remember that even the Catholics not only believe in angels, but they also believe in exorcism, that there is a spirit world that can be communicated with, and saints, you know, that we can communicate and pray to St. Francis Xavier and different saints, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who is the patron saint of the Casa do Manacio, which is the transmedium John of God's house, or casa, where his work began all about 55 years ago. He's now 70. And the wonder of and the beauty of this is that he'd always had a kind of psychic ability, but definitely was not a trance medium. And he was very poor. And you can read all about this in our book on John of God. It's a beautiful story of a young man at 16 leaving his home because they couldn't feed him. And he needed to feed himself. And his father was a tailor. He had learned how to do that. So he went to this bigger town, and once again they kicked this another 16-year-old out. They didn't want him there. And under a bridge, waiting to go to the next town, this beautiful woman appears. And he sees her physically, and it's St. Rita of Cassia, his patron saint, too. And she told him all about what was going to happen to him, and told him that it was important for him to go back into town and to go to this particular church, that they were waiting for him. When he got there, the minister said, are you João Teixeira da Faria? And he says, yes, I am. And that's the last thing he remembers. What happened was he collapsed, he thought. What happened was is the spirits took over his body and mind, and he rested, like almost like in a dream world. And 50 people were healed. When he came back into his body, and the spirits, of course, take very good care of him, very protect him very much, he didn't know what had happened. And the minister took him home, gave him a good meal, and told him, and a good night's sleep in a real bed, and told him what had happened to him. He was not only surprised, he didn't think it really had happened. And he said that the minister then told him, you have to come back tomorrow. It was King Solomon who had been and worked through him. He couldn't believe it. And he stuffed his pants with bread because he didn't know where he'd get his next meal. He said, okay, I'll be there at 2 with you. At 2 o'clock, he collapses again, and he thinks. And instead, King Solomon healed 100 people. And then when he came back, the minister started teaching him so that he began to have a real working knowledge of how this happens. I have some beautiful photos of in what we call incorporation, where you can actually see the central channel in John of God. The energy is just flowing powerfully, and it distorts the image, and everything around, like his lapel and everything, is in perfect exposure. And it is that moment in which his consciousness is leaving his body, and the saint or the entity is coming in. There are thousands at work there. There are 37 that talk through him, including St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Francis Xavier, Dr. Augusto, some of the ones that are well known. And when you go in front of the entity, you stand in front of the body of John of God, but he's not there. St. Ignatius is there, or Francisco Xavier is there. And they will speak with you, and they'll help you, and they'll give you direction. They will also do surgeries there. There are tremendous healings. I believe over 9 million people have been there in these last 50 years. The healings are remarkable.
That's how it all began. Karen, I'm really intrigued to ask you about the psychic surgery, because I remember as a kid reading about psychic surgery and seeing a photograph of somebody psychically, you know, putting their hand into through someone's skin to perform surgery. Have you seen John of God perform surgery?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over these 10 years. And I have some remarkable spirit photos of the actual time of the surgery, that because the energy is so great then, and you know, in our book you can see all kinds of different photos, different the blessing of the entities is that I would receive photos. I would be almost like a photojournalist. I'd take 7-8 photos, boom 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 boom. The first one doesn't see anything, the second one doesn't, by the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, it's in the middle of the surgery. And the lights are changing, the energy is changing, the spirits are showing themselves as light. It's really remarkable. He does basically three kinds of surgeries. One is the scraping of the eyeball, and I have really, really close-up pictures of this where he uses a kitchen knife. For a while, he had to use a scalpel. They were forcing him to do that in Brazil. Now he's back to using the knife again, and it will be serrated sometimes. If you can imagine scraping an eyeball so strongly that it actually, you know, inverts, it goes convex. And he's smiling, you know, he's looking at them, and he'll take maybe something out. The people will have a small amount of discomfort, but they'll not have real pain, and he'll do one or two eyes, and those kind of surgeries can do the bottom half of the body. He'll also do a hemostat up the nose. It's an 8-inch hemostat that he puts all the way up the nostril and twists. On the top of it, at the end of it, is cotton with blessed water, and when it comes back down, there's some blood, sometimes there's some dripping. Again, it's a discomfort, but it's not pain. And that will take care of spinal problems, different kinds of problems that people have. I've also seen him cut the breast and stick his finger in the cut and then either sew it up or put his hand across it, and it will close up. He also does bellies. I've seen him cut many bellies and put his finger in there, sometimes take something out, but most of the time you can't really see what he's taking out. There's just something that the spirit is doing that is enhancing the healing of these people. And many times you don't know if it's cancer or what it is, but the entities know. And when you go in front of them, they tell you you will have a surgery. 99% of the people have psychic surgery. They don't opt for this. The entities will not do this to anyone unless they request it. Or once in a while, I've seen this where someone is coming in line and he will just stop the line and say, I'm going to work on you. And he'll do a physical surgery without them having asked previously. But 99% of the time, it's psychic surgery. I've never had a physical surgery like that. I've never really wanted it. The psychic surgeries are enough because there's much protocol to it, and you have to be very careful. You need to go to bed right away. You need to lay down and sleep for 24 hours, not really walk around in the sun for a number of days. There's a certain protocol. It's all in our book, by the way, to tell you about it if you should be interested in going. It's a remarkable place, not only for the physical healing, but the emotional and spiritual aspects are just palpable, and the love that is there.
Sounds incredible, Karen. Is there video footage of John of God performing surgery?
Yes, there is. I believe in the documentary there is some with Oprah, and you can go on her website. There are different videos at Beyond Words, where our book is. There is a video on there. My friend who I just was speaking with before I spoke with you from Norway has just put a documentary on Norwegian TV, and she's finishing up the video and has just called me for some photos. And so that will be available. And there are, I think if you just Google it, you'll probably find the different people. There are a number of people who have videos out, and you can buy it at the Casa. I'm sure you can buy it through Beyond Words or, someplace like that.
Wonderful. Well, Karen, just as we're on the subject, just remind us again of the names of your books.
The books are called John of God, the Brazilian Healer, Who's Touched the Lives of Millions. That is a choice of a very long title done by Simon & Schuster. And the other one is called The House That Jill Built. And I did them almost at the same time in Connecticut when I was living there. And, they're both lovely. Of course, the John of God one is the one that Simon & Schuster has, it's now translated into 10 languages or more. And it's throughout the world. It's gotten the most acclaim. The other one is a very small, it's a lovely kind of tabletop book. It also can educate people, but it has never really, been published other than in the United States.
And you said that you have had a psychic surgery, is that correct?
Not only many psychic surgeries. Over the 10 years, they start working on you and they never stop. And so if you come there, I mean, I've gotten away with not having one, at certain times. But usually, everybody that goes there will be taken a really good look at. And you have doctors. I mean, that's what you're there for, is for these doctors to work on you. I didn't really go there for any kind of real physical thing except for migraines that I'd had since I was about 20. Other than that, I was pretty healthy. I'd gone more for spiritual upliftment. Never did I dream that they would tell me I was a photographer and give me these energy photos and the capability really to have it, happen in other ways, more as orbs here in the United States, but also definitely energy. So the migraines, all that happened is one day, I didn't even have a surgery, really, for that. Dr. Augusto was talking with me, and Heather said she's had headaches since she was a child, and which I've had, but not really migraines. And he says, oh, yes, he says, that's true. He put his hand on my head, and that was the end of the migraines.
Wow. And can you tell us about some of the other healings? Which healings have you experienced in other people that most impressed you?
Well, you know, the healings come in a variety of ways, and our book certainly has a lot of the healings of cancer and different things. But I think it's the change in people. It's the way that the love moves and changes, you know, us when we're there. It's meeting the other people. It's finding an aspect of yourself, a center within yourself, so that you just naturally want to give. You just naturally want to be of service. So that, like, when I found myself doing the photos, all I wanted to do was give them away. All I wanted to do was do, you know, the photo shows of the spirit energy, so that people could see and become inspired and know that there's something so much more than what's on our physical plates here all of the time, and that we are always guided and so dearly loved.
It makes you wonder if, in effect, with some of these surgeries, spirit are aware that an illness is forming or taking shape on the astral plane that may not have fully manifested on the physical plane, and they're therefore averting illness in the physical body. Do you feel that that's the case?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, there's no doubt that it's in the invisible realm that everything begins, and oftentimes it's an emotional problem, or it could be a possession. And definitely the Casa Domenico is the biggest house of depossession in the Western Hemisphere. There are many people that talk about having, like, say, brain cancer. There's a young man that speaks on one of the videos about brain cancer, and he simply just sat in the meditation room called the current room of the entities, and that's all he did, and the cancer shrunk because he was aware of a possession of blackness that was within him, and the entities were able to remove that with his permission through the relaxation and through the love and through the meditations that he was doing. And the wonder and the beauty, I think one of them is, of the Casa, is that even though there is a Catholic background, people say the Our Father and the Hail Mary out in the great room before you go into the current rooms, but once you're in the current rooms, a Jain will sit next to a Buddhist, that will sit next to a Catholic, you know, that will sit next to an agnostic. It doesn't matter. And everyone goes within, and everyone prays or does their meditation or sits quietly as they see fit. And the spirit guides there, the entities, work with you from within. They never ask you to change yourself in any way. And so people can really relax, and many, many things can manifest for people because of that.
Sounds like an incredible experience, Karen. So tell us, Karen, about your other experiences. So you've traveled to all over the world to conduct the spiritual photography. Can you tell us about some of the other experiences, spiritual experiences that you've had that have most impressed you or struck you?
Well, you know, my journey began, you know, it was without knowing it, the Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey. A great suffering happened to me at the age of 17. I was sort of rocked to my bones. And I swore that if I didn't know something to help others by the time I was 25, I would end my life. I know that I don't think I would ever really have done that. But certainly that was the kind of pain, and that by the time I was to pass in this lifetime, I would know the meaning of life and death. And that's what came from these extraordinary death experiences that happened to me one after another. By the time I was 24 and a half, I met Sai Baba. And by the grace of God, each time I seem to go to these wonderful places, I'm given the gifts that others have not been able to receive. And probably because they didn't need it. They probably didn't have as hard a head as me. But I was lucky enough to meet Indra Devi And she took me with 12 others to Sai Baba, and I didn't know that she was just an incredible devotee of Sai Baba's. And she ushered us immediately into his house, and we spent 4 months in his house with Sai Baba. I watched miracle after miracle after miracle. I was given Amrita. I was given a manifested ring to help me. You know, all the things that I had wished for were there, in that it was the first time that I had ever experienced universal and true unconditional love, where I wasn't asked for anything like I was as a child. You do this, you get that. But this was different. This was the energy and the love of God, and I was forever changed. I came back home, and I started the Sai Baba Center way back when, in I think 72, and that center's still going today. I'm not a part of it anymore, but it certainly was a gift in my life that really, I think, in a way saved my life, and it turned my life into a real dedication to God and to wanting to know more about my true self and the abundance that is within me.
It's incredible, Karen. Well, where do you plan to go next, Karen? What's on your horizon?
Well, you know, what's on my horizon is to stay home for a little while and get my video production together a little more deeply. I want to go to the pyramids, and that's a really important thing for me. But interesting enough, right before you called, my dear friend from Norway just called me about a gentleman, and I want to talk to you about him later on. Not his name here. It's somewhere I've written it. This fellow is in Brazil, and his name is. I don't have it here. He is an interesting gentleman who, again, like John of God, has the angels, he calls them, working within him, and he dreams the future, and he has the healing ability, and she wants to bring him here to America. And so she wants me to work with her if I feel fit. So it's possible that I'm going to be maybe going to Norway next instead, that my whole life is taking a change as of about an hour ago, and that I'm going to be doing some video and photography around working with her. The guy's name is Juscelina Nobrega da Luz. I've never heard of him before, but she has had an extensive year and a half working with him, and he has a great deal to say. So I think that's probably might be one of my next directions. And then, of course, the pyramids.
Wow, the pyramids are amazing. And I'll tell you a little story about a photograph I've seen of the pyramids, and a couple of others, actually, when we come back after the break, Karen. So we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll be back together to talk some more.
Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, Karen, well, I wanted to just tell you a little story about Egypt. We had a wonderful guest on the show, Evans Bowen, and she's very passionate about Egypt and has been there a number of times. And she showed me a photograph of herself in one of the temples, and you literally see a manifestation in light of Sekhmet. It's absolutely incredible. So I'm sure that when you go to Egypt, you'll get some incredible evidence of spirit.
You know, Evans is a friend of mine too, and I was going to tell you about that photo because it's the only other photo I've ever seen of a spirit photo that has that huge same arc of light. And I've never seen that manifested for anyone until Evans, and I thought, wow, you're right. That she's my inspiration for wanting to go to the pyramids, and that picture is one of my inspirations. So, yes, I know what you're talking about.
If you go with Mary Lamando, who we also had on the show, maybe I'll meet you, because I would love to go with Mary and Evans to Egypt, because they have access to some very special places that most people don't get to go. And wow. I'd love to see your work as well. Well, I want to introduce one of my co-hosts, Karen. Brenda would like to ask you a question, if that's okay.
I'd love it.
Hi, Karen. It's Lady Brenda. You know, when you were talking about the surgeries, I had a client that had gone to see him and had a surgery. And it was for cancer in the liver. And I wanted to ask you if you had witnessed any of the, like, I'm sure people come there all the time with the cancer, their terminal or something like that. Had you ever witnessed any of that?
Oh, yeah. You know, being there over 10 years, so many people, some wait, until it's too late. You know, I have to say that there is about a 70-75% healing rate. The important thing is to know that sometimes you go there for one healing and you receive the healing you really need. And some pass because it's their time. Others are healed within days and some still suffer. I have two friends. She was a nurse that had MS for 18 years and was just about ready to go into diapers and not be able to walk. And she heard about John of God from a TV program, and she said she saw Jesus standing over John of God in her mind, you know. And mm-hmm. So she went, and she had basically a suitcase full of drugs. She left with only taking one of those drugs, and it was 10 days, and she was completely healed. And now she's doing great service again as a nurse. My other friend in New York, he has been, I think, 25 times. He also has MS, and mm-hmm. he continues to have MS. It is not, but he also asked to have a peace and a happiness, and right off the get-go, that happened to him. He has a sense of peace in his heart that he never knew before, and that never leaves him. But the actual MS has nothing but deteriorated. And how that works, you know, is just, you know, the divine and the person themselves. But yes,
I'm asking because I have a very dear friend who's suffering now with cancer, and I would take that journey with her just to bring her there.
It would definitely be worth it. There is not only for her but for you. Oftentimes, the caregiver finds themselves having surgery and being taken care of in ways that they couldn't have even imagined. And because of that service, they love folks that help others and spread their love. And you will receive that from them in whatever form is necessary for you to know God even more deeply.
Well, thank you. Oh, and then Steve was talking about the pyramids. I've been several times, and I think that if you're allowed to take some photos, if they allow you in the Grand Pyramid, if you're allowed to take some photos over that sarcophagus, you're going to get a lot of healing energy.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Because if you lay down in it, you'll have an immediate and almost spontaneous astral projection.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. Anyhow, I'm really enjoying this whole conversation, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Karen. It's always wonderful when one of my co-hosts chips in with a question. and let her know that they're really enjoying the show.
Yes, so thank you.
When do you feel you might go to Egypt?
It's up to the divine. I don't know. I, again, may have just been diverted to Norway to help with this amazing man who is doing such very, very good work. And his predictions have been coming true, and they're accurate. He is like a psychograph almost. He dreams, and what he has told of the future has come to pass. And he does this not to frighten people about possibilities, but to allow people to work with themselves and to free ourselves, so that we begin to understand that we are gods with a small g. We have the ability, you know, and Jesus said this, that ye are gods, that we have the ability to change our futures through, you know, the divine intervention within us, the love within us. And if we come together, our consciousnesses, in mass, more and more, this evolution that's happening for us can happen without a great deal of turmoil. So his work seems very, very important, and like I said, I've just heard about him, and I need to do some more study on it, but Christine, I know very well, and she, you know, if she's behind him, I know there's something to it that I need to look into, and hopefully you may have him on your program, and her, eventually.
That would be wonderful. We're always looking for great guests, so that would be fantastic. Well, I know that you mentioned Oprah as well, Karen, and am I correct in saying that Oprah did a show about John of God?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, she's known about him for years through Dr. Oz, and you know, Dr. Oz was going to bring her to Omega, and then that didn't happen, as far as I understand. And she basically, you know, has heard for years about him, and I think she finally decided because of, I think it was Wayne Dyer, who had a remote healing of leukemia. And when she heard that, I think that was finally tipped her over the edge. And her producers decided that she should go. And she went there. She was only there very briefly this last year. And the video is the documentary she did is quite lovely. And does show some surgeries, and really shows how at one point when she was standing up to see a surgery, the energy was so great that she had to sit down. She couldn't stand. You know, it was so powerful. So, yeah, she has done that, and we'll see what that brings to him. I know it will be a lot more people.
Absolutely. Can you just was trying to imagine the number of people he must have helped.
Well, 9 million have been there over these 50 years. I mean, that's a lot of people. And 100 to 200,000, and probably more now since Oprah, go a year and can pass through this very small little village. And nothing is fancy. You know, there's no suites. There's nothing there that has a grand hotel. You simply are there to meditate and to grow and to heal and to be of service when you feel that within yourself. And it's really all about your healing. So all kinds of people throughout the world, you meet the most wonderful people there. People that I know that I would have never met had I not been there. And all come together for this consciousness transformation that happens merely by being there.
It's wonderful. Well, Karen, are you planning another book?
You know, I've been told that I should do a book a number of times of photos of John of God. And honestly, I've been so busy learning videography that and doing videos here in the Grass Valley area that and just starting that I haven't done it. But it definitely is on my plate to think about and to do. But that may be diverted, too, because of what just happened from my friend in Norway. So we'll see. But it would be an easy one, you know, because I have 150,000 photos over these 10 years, you know, having gone there and being blessed to take photo after photo after photo after photo, hours and hours and hours and hours, in the entity's room, and even in the surgery room where no one else was allowed to photograph. I have rare, rare photos, and they should be able to be seen by many people. So it's probably going to be something I'll do in the next year or so.
Wonderful. So a collection of those photographs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with small little, text about the moment, and stories, because I have so many stories. As I do, my photo shows, I just tell story after story of how the entity said this or the healing was taking place like that. So I'll probably do some of that in some of these photos so that people know what they're looking at, because they're extraordinary. I have a photo that you can see all this white energy just pouring down from the left to the right. And it's an amazing moment because I took this really before I was their photographer, where they had asked me to do this. And Francisco Xavier, St. Francis Xavier, was standing with his back to me, and Heather was to the left. And he says, he puts his hand out, his left hand, and he says, "Who am I?" And Heather says, "You're Francisco Xavier, you're St. Francis Xavier." And he says, "The woman is healed." And he took his hands, he crossed them, and he put them down abruptly. The music blew that goes on, the lights blew, and I took this photo. And one of the mediums there took a look at it and said, "Do you see that? It's his hand of the spirit. It's not... There's actually just a man there, and you can see that he's holding his rosary. You can see the cross and the rosary, and that woman was instantaneously healed of cancer. And the spirits, there are thousands there, and you can just see this white light just coming on in streaks down, from the top left to the bottom right in this picture. And I think that one's in our book. It's also on my website, which is www.johnofgodphotos.com, and you'll see different sections, portraits, spirit photos, the casa rooms, different things like that that people can look at and also purchase if they want.
I wanted to ask you as well, Karen, whilst you're with us, how clearly you can sense the presence of the entities healing with John of God or through him.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. I can feel it's palpable. The love is palpable there. And there are times when it becomes almost overwhelming. The light, the energy within you. There are times when I will just weep because of the power of the love. And there's just nothing else. There was no way I could contain it. I remember when I was with Sai Baba, and I was so young, and he had Walter Cowan there, who he had raised from the dead, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of anyone being raised from the dead. And he was remarrying him and his wife, and the energy was so, so fantastic. I remember thinking, I have my teacup, and I've come to the ocean, and I can gather my teacup, because that's all the capacity I have as a human, for the extraordinary love and presence of the divine that's here in this moment for all of us. But of course, it was all about Walter and his wife and his death and resurrection. So it's the same thing at John of God's. I feel like my life turned on two great events in my life. And the first one was Sai Baba. I felt like my life was saved. And with John of God, I feel like my life was dismantled and resurrected again to be the person I am right this minute, and who is so willing and excited about this new evolution that is happening for humanity, and to be a part of it, to share in it. And that's why I thank you for allowing me to speak today and be here.
So, pleasure, Karen. I would love to have you back in future as well to hear more about your work and experiences. I was thinking that also it would be wonderful for you to take some photographs of physical mediumship seances. Is that something that you've considered?
Well, I actually did a video for Greg and Tanya Stewart, the trans mediums that are from, well, she's from Brazil, and I believe that you interviewed Greg. He's a friend of mine.
Yes,
and
we did.
I haven't taken any photos. I took a video, and they wanted me to take photos of a seance, basically. And I was going to do that, and then at the last minute, there was a red light, and they said, you know, they said no, but then they really didn't say no, apparently. I just didn't know it, and so I didn't take that photo of, you know, trans mediums or mediums that were there. But I think eventually that will probably happen. You know, I just love taking photos, and I just love seeing the divine in a leaf. I mean, the color, like sometimes of just the light that comes through a green leaf is enough for me to be inspired to take the photo. You know, I can't explain it. It doesn't have to be overtly spiritual. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Just the beauty of nature.
Exactly, or the beauty of the moment, whether it's even at a party or anything, you know, the love on someone's face for their child, you know, or for each other. And all of that is the inspiration that I so deeply care about. And when I get a spirit photo, I'm so grateful and happy, you know, that it has happened again.
Well, it's very exciting, Karen. It's been absolutely fascinating to have you with us and to interview you. And I have ordered one of the two books. I must order the second. I'm really looking forward to reading them. Did you find it? How did you find the process of writing? Did you find that you were also channeling?
Yeah, absolutely. That was an amazing story in its own right, because Heather was in Brazil, and I decided to start the proposal for this book that it seemed like the entities wanted us to write. I've never written a proposal before in my life, so I wrote this proposal, and it was all about the love. And I had someone come over who was more into business who said, "Are you kidding me? This is all about business. You got to talk about money." And I had to scrap it and start all over. So I started another proposal about money and why this book would make money for the publisher. I did that, and I created all the chapters and created, you know, how the pictures would look and all of that, packaged it up, and it, just as I was doing it, the niece of Ralph Lauren, Jenny Lauren, called to ask about Heather and whether she was in Brazil and all of that, because she had just written a book, and Simon & Schuster had given her quite a bit of money for it, and the last chapter was about her being at John of God's and the healing of bulimia and anorexia. And so I told her, well, I'm packaging off six proposals because I was at the Javits Center a couple months ago, and a number of people there, because I was there for the signing of the house that Joe built. A number of the people said that they would be interested, you know, that were small publishers, spirit publishers, that they'd be interested in the book. So I was ready to do that. And she said, well, would you mind if I just hand-deliver this to Atria, which is Simon & Schuster, Atria Books? I said, I'd love it, Jenny. Thank you. I said, I just hope you like the proposal. So I shipped it off to her. The next day, she got it to Atria. 2 days later, they called and said, you know, would you we would like to send this to somebody else. I think it's just a little too spiritual for us, for Atria. Well, what they didn't tell me is it was Beyond Words, who's out here in Oregon, and they had done The Secret, and they were just being, they were just becoming part of Simon & Schuster, but they were their own separate little entity. So the wonder and beauty of it was is that we got to be with mom and pop folks, and at the same time, Simon & Schuster, the big house in New York. So that's how that one happened, and you know, when we wrote the actual book, we hadn't written it at all, and they flew out from, I was in New York at that time in Connecticut, and Beyond Words, and they met us at Simon & Schuster's, and they said, don't say anything, and I said, okay, and I gave them the photos, and they had the proposal, and they went to Atria and pitched it for that year, and the woman says, well, I'm assuming it's written. And I'm going, oh, my God. And she says, oh, yeah, you know. And so we got the commission to do it. And within 8 weeks, we had written the book, Heather and I together. And we would go separately and write our aspects of it and then come back together, change it, edit it, write again, And then once we sent it to Beyond Words, they had editors that we were able to work with, and the book was produced within a few months, really, and then published within the year. So it was quite remarkable. You could tell it was divinely given, and the entities had a real big hand in it.
Well, it's a great story in itself, Karen. I want to thank you again for being with us. It's been a great pleasure to hear about your experiences and your work with spirit photography. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And
you're welcome,
lots
Karen.
Of blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, and good luck in Norway.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Well, that was a really interesting interview. I want to just thank Karen again for joining us on the show. I've got a lot of respect for her and her knowledge, and really very exciting to hear her experiences. If you'd like more information about Karen, please visit her profile at psychicaccesstalkradio.com or her website, which I gave you before, but I'll give you again. So grab your pen. It's karenlefflerphotos.com. I'd like to make a few announcements before we move to the next part of the show. Please stay tuned for the second part of the show, when you'll get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later on in the show, so have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives to our previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab. There's really a lot of good material on there now, and I really encourage you to check that out. And please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many people as possible, so go ahead and share those links. A reminder as well to visit psychicbloggers.com. It's a fantastic website. All of the articles are contributed by the gifted psychics and intuitives at psychicaccess.com, and you can learn at psychicbloggers.com about the paranormal, reincarnation, auras, chakras, everything, you name it, it's there. And if you're interested in getting a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of the readers are verified, accuracy tested, and offer their unique gifts. They all have their own profiles for you to learn about their work and to choose the authentic psychic that you feel can most help you with your question and your inquiry. It's a great honor to work with Doug and the Psychic Access team. We have really high standards and expect a lot of our psychics, and all of the co-hosts here on the radio show are also available at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, please do be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you have your own website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on reading traffic that is transferred through to psychicaccess.com. We have a great affiliate program, so please do read about that at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, if you like our show, please invite your friends, join us in the chat room, and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to give you the number now for readings. If you do call in, you will be able to listen to the show, and then we'll bring you on once we're able to start taking readings. And remember that it's just one question per caller, because we'd like to get through as many people as possible. So here we go. Here's the number for you to dial a little later on when we tell you we're ready for readings. It's 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Well, I want to ask my co-hosts now what they thought of the show. Maureen, what did you think?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed her a lot. She had so much passion, and it was really reflected in what she was talking about. Very informative as well for me with psychic surgery. But, you know, what I find her energy is extraordinary. It's almost like she reminds us, or me, or maybe all of us, maybe you'll agree, like, you know, the journey that we take, or we go towards becoming like and I love this word. I use it a lot. Yes, you guys. But, you know, going to one's true, authentic self. But my view is like, and that's what our energy is like. It's like the reason why I like to think about doing that for myself is to construct a life that is uniquely your own and a life made by hand, which is the best way. And when she was talking about, was it when she was in Brazil, how no one was asking anything of her? Was that the time she was talking? Steve, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
It was just so lovely listening to her energy about that. I mean, in addition to it was very informative of all of what you're talking, of everything she was talking about, but that's the best thing I really loved about her, because she's living a life made by hand on her own. Her journey is beautiful. I don't know. Pretty deep stuff, I know, I just had to say. But I feel very strongly after listening to her.
Well, it's always exciting. I'm always really excited when I, firstly, when I hear a person living with that sense of spirit, knowing that we're part of something much greater.
Collectively, yeah.
Yeah, that spirit is there for us, and that we can draw inspiration, healing, insight, all manner of things from the spirit world. And then also to hear somebody successfully making their living out of their passion for spirit and passion for serving, that always really touches me as well.
And her journey, she's talking about the journey and the, you know, and plus, you know, any, you know, like Brenda, I'm sure you'll agree, we all like us good Catholic girls. But we were raised, our Catholic people, you know, and she touched on certain things. And listening to her talk about, you know, the crystal and the Catholic church, and going from there, her journey was fascinating. And like we all talk about, I don't even like cliche. It's not it's a journey, right? What goes on. I just loved her energy. She's extraordinary, her journey. She embraced, I thought it was, and it was real. It's her intent is fantastic. It's just real, authentic, and fantastic. I really enjoyed that whole interview because of the direct reflection of her energy. It was really good.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, it was a lot of fun. Well, I know we've got another great guest next week. I'm looking forward to listening to Stephen's interview with Jessica Murray next week. She's a favorite of mine, and that will be a wonderful show as well. Well, Brenda, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm definitely going there. I'm going to make plans after I've got some events going on at the end of the year, and my daughter's getting married and the whole bit. But after that, I'm going to plan a journey there with my friend, because I really believe in that. I've heard of that before, and it reminds me so much of really what the ancients used to do. I mean, so there's a cloak of Catholicism. It's all the creator, whatever name you choose to give the creator, God, Jesus, the saints, Buddha, you know, in any of these words, these are just labels for that God energy, that creator energy. And when she was talking about what happened with the psychic surgeries and all that kind of stuff, that's the type of stuff that happened in the temples of ancient Egypt. And so that type of stuff, you know, it is a miracle, and it defies what we know as modern science, but, you know, more power to her for bringing this out. I mean, it's incredibly, you know, it reminds you that of the presence of, you know, like you were saying, God within all of us and in the universe. We're all interconnected, and it feels like at this healing center that they tap into that, because that's really the only way that this could work, you know? Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's magical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I always feel,
you referred to science, and I always feel, well, science science is always moving forward, making more discoveries. So there was a time when we thought the world was flat until we proved scientifically that it wasn't. And science is a journey. So I very much believe that we should validate things scientifically. And there is a lot of scientific evidence behind the kind of work we do and behind our metaphysical interests. But science is moving forward all of the time. And we know the thing that we know is that we don't know everything that there is to know.
That's absolutely true. And I think that it's just so multidimensional. You can't just look at one aspect of it.
No, absolutely. And when you see people like Oprah Winfrey going to Brazil and meeting John of God and expressing an interest, that's wonderful because...
It is, because that brings it to the public. And the public needs to know about this.
They do. They do.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen, what did you think?
Well, I was absolutely floored by the subject matter. Cameras and photography has always unsettled me somehow. The idea of the spirit impressing itself upon the film or the recording technology of the camera is a profoundly disturbing concept to me and to others. I think one of the rudest things you could possibly do is snap somebody's picture without asking their permission first. And so the topic was frankly quite chilling for me, and also very interesting in the fact that I do believe it bridges the gap and addresses the gulf between science or physics and metaphysics, as it were, and that could be what disturbs me so much about, I shouldn't even say disturb, but electrifies me so much about the subject matter.
You know, have you ever attended a seance?
I have not, but that is really high on my bucket list. It's kind of hard to find seances here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but you know, it is possible. Better said, it's hard to find sincere and genuine seances in my area of the world, but I would love, absolutely love to do it. Yeah, for sure. And what resonated with me about the guest was her plans to visit Egypt, which is a centerpiece for my religious beliefs or my spiritual beliefs, as it were. Very interesting that modern religions, which descend from the Semitic religions, you know, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, none of these really reserve the same amount of vitriol and anger for the ancient Egyptian religions as they do for other pagan systems. There's always been a tacit acceptance of the ancient Egyptian religion, and indeed Christianity has just piled its symbols on top of the ancient Egyptian symbols in an effort to keep the story going, as it were. So it's going to be good stuff there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to your show next week, Stephen. You've got Jessica Murray for us, haven't you?
Oh, I absolutely do, and that is going to be such a treat. This is one of those situations where serendipity just plain old good luck smiled down upon me, because I wanted to do a show based on America's natal chart. My show is next week, 4th of July, and you know, it just seems common sense to do something like that. And wouldn't you know, Miss Murray has written a book on precisely that subject. It's called Soulsick Nation, a fabulous read, fascinating, instructive, eye-opening, and she's going to be discussing that next week. So it's going to be really, really enlightening for all of us, myself included.
It will. And Jessica's a very intelligent lady. She's extremely knowledgeable about world events, and we've had her as a guest once before, and she was just wonderful. One of my favorites of all time.
I really like the way she approaches astrology. She has a humanistic approach that really brings astrology into the modern world. You know, you're not going to get raw predictions out of Jessica Murray because she doesn't operate that way. What she does instead, she takes her profound understanding of the astrological language and discusses various probabilities, various statistics, and while emphasizing that we, as the native, have the responsibility of determining the outcome. You know, so she's got a no-nonsense approach to the subject matter, and you're going to be a better citizen after listening to what she has to say about America's natal chart.
She's fascinating. I really, really enjoy listening to her, and her book is brilliant. She's got a very intellectual wit.
She definitely brings a level of academic rigor to this field that makes it competitive with other so-called heavy sciences or more legitimate sciences like psychology and psychiatry. So astrology needs more practitioners like Miss Jessica Murray, for sure. because again, she just brings an atmosphere of credibility to our art and to our science. And she's going to open up a lot of eyes next week. And the most revealing thing is just going to be, I mean, just out of sheer nosiness, if America were a human being, what kind of person would that entity be? We're going to answer that question in great detail next week.
Brilliant. Sounds really, really good. It's one that I'll probably listen to many times over.
That sounds scary, actually.
It's going to be scary.
Oh, God.
I'll go ahead and tell you guys right now, you'll want to go ahead and equip yourself with a copy of the Silby chart, which is widely accepted natal charts for America. That's the chart that we're going to be using for our analysis. And it's going to generate a lot of questions and probably some... it's going to be the stuff that conspiracy theories are made out of. We're going to be talking about the core elements that run like a thread through all of the various conspiracy theories. So it's going to be enlightening.
Good stuff. Well, it will be brilliant. Well, Brenda, let me bring you back in again. What do you think about conspiracy theories? Do you feel that there's...
I love conspiracy theories. I really do. I think we should do a whole show on them. That and urban legends and stuff like that, because there's a grain of truth in all that stuff. And some of it's actually accurate. Really. Some of it's paranoid stuff, but some of it's pretty interesting. Off the top of my head, I can't... what would be one that's a conspiracy theory that's going around now? Do you guys know of one that's the most popular one that's going around now? I know that they're all constantly, every month there's something new on the internet, you know, about some sort of creature or something like that.
Well, not so much a conspiracy theory, but something that's very interesting that I'm sure Jessica will mention actually next Thursday, Brenda, will be the scandal about monitoring telephone calls, text messages, emails in the US. And this guy Snowden, who's there held up in the airport in Russia.
And we can have a spiritual breakdown from...
Well, you know what? You know what? I can say that guy, I mean, I feel for him. Maybe he was trying to do good. But by now, he's probably gotten grilled in some underground bunker with a bare light bulb above him on all the stuff that he knows. It's very interesting. It's only a matter of time. We knew it was going on. I mean, really. Only matter of time.
It's interesting as well that Stephen's just mentioned that, again, because you can correlate world events with universal astrology, humanistic astrology, which is Jessica's field. And Stephen just mentioned that that Mercury is in opposition to Pluto. Mercury is about communication, obviously, and Pluto is the depths of matters, what's hidden or what's subversive, what's potentially not right. And we've got that opposition between Mercury and Pluto, and lo and behold, we have this realization or this confirmation of the NSA monitoring. Good one, Stephen. Tell us more.
We want to know more, but when? How long does it? When Mercury's opposite Pluto, when?
This was the natal configuration, so it points to a long running pattern that is going to shape around these two planetary energies. So it's not just the NSA monitoring. America has always had a constant problem with the power principle of Pluto.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Getting in the way of the ability to communicate that is represented by Mercury. So that astrological signature describes a lot of problems with communication that America as an entity has, that America as a government has.
Some of it is they don't want to, because we're Cancer. We are born in Cancer, and Cancer runs away and hides. So we would hide from something that don't want to face, or you're not ready to deal with, or you go sideways from that type of thing.
Well, the Pluto transit for anybody, and this is really strange, because the quietness of the transit belies the immensity of Plutonian power. Pluto transits aren't very discernible and until un, unless they're just forming, you know, just forming an aspect or just entering a sign or just entering a house. And the, so therefore the problem with Pluto, the Plutonian prop, the Pluto problems that America has are hard to bring out to the forefront simply because the nature of Pluto is underground, you see. So it's going to be hard. It's owning up to this dark god. It's going to be really hard for America as a collective to healthily own the Plutonic desire and craving for power. And we have our Pluto in the second house of America. So what that says speaks volumes on our penchant for consumerism, you know, our ability to rape other nations through through slavery.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't get political.
That's the whole point of the
show. It's fun. I was going to say,
you know what? Because
guys,
don't get me started. I mean, I'm going to have to shut my mouth.
The show is definitely, next week's show is definitely going to provide a springboard for you to. I mean, we're going to be mixing politics.
This is
going to
be an interesting, lively conversation next.
Yes, it is. We're talking about a conflux of politics, Greek mythology, astrological symbolism, all coming together to point towards America's future. It's going to be an important thing for us to talk about.
And also, America's approaching its first Pluto return. I think it's in 2022.
You're exactly
right. That's huge. I mean, whoever or whatever experiences a Pluto return, because it's such a slow-moving planet that for it to return to its natal position is just incredibly transformational, potentially incredibly turbulent and revealing. And also, at that time, there are some extremely stressful dynamics in other countries' charts. So that's going to be an interesting time. And that would be, in actual fact, Stephen, I would love you to ask Jessica about the US's Pluto return.
I totally plan to, because this will be a first for America. Pluto takes almost 300 years to circumnavigate the zodiac. So this is going to be a springboard moment, a watershed moment in American history. America has never experienced a Pluto return before in its history. And in addition to that Pluto return, there are also going to be some heavy-duty astrological energies weighing in on that. Jupiter and Mars are both going to be conjuncting natal Pluto along with transiting Pluto. So we're having a conflux of a lot of heavenly bodies in the second house. We're talking about the energies are going to affect our economy in a huge way in 2022.
The other thing is, Stephen, I'm not sure if you – we're going to take a caller in just a moment, but one other thing is for that interview, I don't think Jessica works with progressions. I think she works with transits, but it would be interesting for you to progress America's chart to next Thursday, and because that would be really useful for our discussion afterwards. But I'm really excited about that show. It's going to be brilliant, and we're going to have a good time as always. But we're going to start taking calls. We have a caller from Georgia, and this one is for you, Brenda.
Hi, Georgia. How can I help you this evening?
How are you?
I'm okay. What can I do for you?
Oh, great. I am calling. I'm waiting on a face-to-face interview with the Federal Home Loan Bank, and this has been going on. Let's see. I spoke to them like 2 weeks ago on a phone interview past that, and then the recruiter was supposed to set up the face-to-face, but they haven't spoke with the individual, so I'm trying to figure out what is the holdup and when will I get in and will they hire me.
Okay, let's take a peek. Let's take a peek here. Well, the first thing I see is you will get hired. You will. I don't see that this is, you know, going to stay stuck forever. It just feels like, you know, there's the holiday coming up. There's some kinds of stuff going on internally with them. But it's not related to how you did with your phone interview. I feel that there's going to be a phone call that happens by the 6th, and that's after the holiday. By the 6th, I receive a phone call, and I do see a man is going to want to talk to you. I see you interviewing with a man, not a woman. I really do. I feel it's going to be a man. It keeps coming up that it's a man. It feels like it's fairly challenging. Do not be nervous about this. It looks like it's within your grasp. I really do see it within your grasp. And I'm seeing like a 2 to 3 week period here in which this manifests. Because you're due to move forward. You really are. You've been stuck for too long. Now it's time to move forward. You have a friend who is very encouraging of you in this. I do see that there's a lot of people on your side. And I also see you making a good impression with the man that you interview with. So it's going to happen. It's just the timing's off a little bit. And this, I feel, has to do with perhaps some things, with the holiday coming up next week.
Well, my concern is that this has really been going on since like the end of April, and mm-hmm. it's been just a slow drag to get even to where I'm at now. And so my question, too, is are they unorganized? Is this just a sign that I should see that there's a problem? I won't be happy there. You see what I'm saying? Because this has been like 2 months.
I don't see that. It's more internal things on their part, where they have to fill this position, but they also have a lot of other things that they have to do, perhaps other positions, and some things could be put on hold, and it's internal policies, but it's not related to you and your qualifications for the job.
Okay.
It just feels like their internal policies. Once you get hired on, I don't see that they're going to be jerking you around. I don't see that at all.
Okay,
and
perfect.
One of the things that's absolutely, evident here is if they were not interested in you, they wouldn't keep coming back and wanting more.
I keep saying that, but I'm like, this is the longest.
It's ridiculous. It's like getting a government job, right?
Well, and I have two other things that's a possibility that's one is more relevant than the other one right now, and I'm scared that they're going to make me an offer before Home Loan makes me an offer, and I really want to go to Home Loan, and I can't be choosy right now, so that's why I'm a little nervous, too.
Well, the interesting thing is you might have a choice, but it's not that drastic or that dramatic. I feel that that the offers may come very close to each other, but still this other one might be incomplete as well.
Yeah, I would rather go to the Home Loan.
Then hang in there. You need to hang in there then.
Anything you can tell me about the man before you get off?
The man
that would
you're
be interviewing me?
Is that what you're talking about?
I didn't hear what you said.
The man that you're going to interview with?
Yes, ma'am.
It feels like he's an older guy, not super, old, but it feels like he's, and I see him in a position of power. He's looking for confidence. He really is in your ability to do the job. I feel he's known to you, but you've never met him.
That's in my past life?
No, but you might have heard his name or something like that.
Oh. Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda. That was a great reading. Well, the next caller is from Utah for you, Stephen.
Hello, Utah. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How may I help you?
I'm actually just new to this, and I just felt really inspired that I needed to be on this call listening, and I guess I just am looking for a little bit of direction, and
okay.
And I don't know what exactly I'm supposed to ask or why I'm here, but I feel like I need to be here, so I don't know if that makes sense without rambling.
But okay. It makes sense. Let's go ahead and get started with some of the energies that I'm getting from you right now, and we can just go from there if something strikes you, okay?
Okay.
Well, what I'm sensing right now from you is that this is a general period in your life that is involved with reformation. The card in particular, which gives me this idea, is the Five of Scepters reversed. And so this card has to do a lot with good fortune, actually, with your ambitions. And so if pertaining to your career, I would expect the coming months, the coming weeks, actually to be the beginning of a stronger, a more prosperous cycle for you. And again, it's all wrapped up with the idea of reformation. The pressure going forward on you is going to be to smooth over whatever jagged edges you have in a comprehensive way, not just with your career, also in your love life, also with your families, etc. Now, some energies that aren't important to you right now is the energy of repression. That seems to really be coming through very strongly for me. And specifically, what you ought to avoid is an act of broadcasting your intentions. Okay, and you want to avoid any sort of public relations types of situations where you're trying to mediate between coworkers or friends who are arguing or fighting, or where you're broadcasting your intentions in general. You're entering into a cycle in your life where you want to play your cards close to your vest, especially pertaining to your business. Whatever your career is, you don't want to be too open with your goals. You want to be secretive about your ambitions because you don't want to inspire any competition at your job or anything of that nature. Also, in your love life, you want to practice this ability of repressing your desire to broadcast your feelings. So if anything starts up with anyone, if you're seeing anybody right now, there's no need to wear your heart on your sleeve. That sort of behavior is to be avoided. And again, the ideas of reformation and responsibility just really tie in very strongly with your situation. The Five of Cups is a prophetic card. It points to what you have coming to meet you in the future. And this card definitely refers to responsibility because it describes a deep-seated attachment. So that's where you're headed right now, deep-seated emotional attachment, either to your job or to another human being in a relationship. And that deep-seated attachment requires a lot of responsibility out of you, which is important, which is why it's so important for you to reform yourself in those areas where you're weak at. Now, do you have any questions so far about anything I'm saying?
No, that completely hits home, so thank you.
That makes sense to you, Michelle?
It does.
Okay, well, do you have any other questions for me or anything else that you'd like to know? I mean, you were able to come here. I hope you
were exactly what I was supposed to hear, so.
Well, very good. I really appreciate you coming to listen to the show tonight, and I hope you'll come see us again at psychicaccess.com.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, you touched her. That's good.
I hope
so. Thank you, Stephen. Good reading.
Thank you, and thank you to Michelle for calling in. It takes a lot of bravery to do that, so thank you, Michelle.
Yes.
Yeah, you're really enjoying the tarot, Stephen, right?
Well, the tarot is enjoying me. I've devoted myself to it and have devoted myself tirelessly to learning it and teaching it to others. It's a marvelous tool. It's like astrology's little brother.
Yeah, and I love the wording you articulate, these words, like the word of penetrate.
That's a great word. I mean, you know what?
You tell me how you are. I love the way you talk.
You know how it is,
it's
Marty.
It's extremely Freudian. Penetrating and probing.
Yeah, very much.
Into.
Yeah, it's Lady.
Well, you guys know the sorts of monsters. You guys know the sorts of monsters that we deal with. I'm talking about long-running, habituals, psychic monsters and habits that people deal with. They need some penetration to get to the core.
No,
of their...
it's just the way you are, and I think the way you that's your thing. And I found it fascinating.
I'm an intense
way.
Little fella.
No, you give it. I just like the articulation. It's the masculation of.
I'm a high pressure lad.
I like it. No, I'm Yankee. I'm not Yankee. Actually, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at myself because I'm just saying it's fascinating. I mean, there's a fascination about the way.
Growing up a complete dork, Maureen. I understand when people are with
don't
me.
Don't do the dork thing.
I know
don't
the difference.
Go research. Go put his name in Google, and you'll find out he's not really a dork at all.
I think that I can speak for all of us here on the show that we probably were viewed in high school as outsiders or strange.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I'm still viewed as strange. Eccentric, to say the least. That's putting it kind.
No, that's when you get older. You're called nuts, bizarre, and crazy. But when you get older, you're called special, gifted,
eccentric.
It cracks me up when you get a little older, then you get all these, you know, those bizarre nuts and crazies go away. It's like, it's just so unkind. Unkind.
Something to look forward to.
What, for you, because you're only 14 years old?
That's right.
Man. I wish.
I don't know why you would wish to be that age. Why in the world?
Here we go.
That's when all that vocabulary came.
Oh, I like a little
Stephen reads differently than I do, and of course, and Brenda, but I enjoy listening to it. It's very.
Well, I've tried to shy away.
Meaty.
I'm glad. It's a different method. It's a different system of tarot, one that relies heavily on Egyptian symbolism.
You give it your all, and you can tell you've so much. You're so into it, and I like it. I mean,
I've been there before with a lot of these problems. I know what it's like to be upside down.
At 14 years old, you've been through a lot.
I mean, I tell you what,
and you're 14. See, I thought you were only 12. No,
you guys shouldn't underestimate the problems that adolescents face this day and age. Just the other day, I was bullied and had my lunch money stay taken from me. It was.
Yeah, and he's not 14. He's 14 and three quarters.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Sorry,
that's a good one. That's all he has left after being bullied, right?
His birthday's coming up. My birthday's coming up, and so is Doug's birthday's coming. Well,
wow.
Leos. We're surrounded by Leos.
That's right. We're gonna get you. Yeah, we're
wow.
gonna get you.
A lot of Leo energy going on here.
I guess.
Wow, you all three Leos.
Yes.
Leos with us
Doug
two
and I,
Capricorn.
Yeah. It was always just Doug and I, but now we've got another third one here. Doug and I share the same day birthday.
Wow.
But still there's three Leos. Growl or roar roar.
I understand where I fit on the hierarchy, so the cub knows not to get in the way of the lioness as she goes out to hunt. So I know my place, Maureen. I know my place to thrive.
See the way you articulate that. It's just so penetrating.
Well, hey, you know what? I tell you what. The quality of our thoughts is limited by the quality of our vocabulary, Maureen. I believe that very strongly, and we as Americans have a God-given right.
Oh, here we go.
Intelligently.
Here it comes.
That's right.
Wait for it.
Okay, what about those pyramids? No.
Go ahead and get down to the amen corner, because y'all asked for a sermon and it's coming.
I wanted to bring up something about you guys are talking. I don't talk political stuff, and I won't be participating ever in any political talk because it's what I don't do. But I will say this. I do feel about you're talking about your show next week. You know, I'm all about union and Steve and Brenda have heard me on and on about that. I love union. Psychology and archetypes and everything, and you know Carl Jung would say we're a collective unconsciousness, we're all connected, right? And I think the thing of it is when we went to this we're all going to go 2000, that stuff was happening, it's going to be the big end, and I think is it was a big beginning, because there are people that do not want to connect collectively, or they're not self-aware, but it's just the way it is. So they're branching off, and that's what's happening. I think that's what was the big doomsday they're talking about. People are rising to the occasion, some aren't.
Yeah, I tell you what scares me about apparently this America's love of its own end. I'm scared of the wish fulfillment prophecies that some people are going to be so in love with the apocalypse that they're going to bring it down on us just out of desiring it so much. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you people? You know, it's the same thing. It's for the same reason they love to watch medical shows and court shows on TV. I mean, two places that I hate and despise. You know, but America's fascinated with these things.
You know, it's cannibalistic. It's cannibalistic society.
Julie has a question for you guys that are into your astrology. Do you see it in the chat room, you guys?
Oh, let's see here.
Who has the question?
Wow,
Julie.
This is for you then, Maureen, because
it's not, but I'm not, I'm not an astrologist, really. I mean.
Oh, it's an astrology question.
For the band, she's asking.
Julie has a very busy eighth house. She has a Virgo and Venus. That's a bad placement for Venus. It's a tricky placement for Venus. And she also has Pluto in Virgo and Mars in Leo. All of these are in the eighth house of other people's money. Yeah, that's
also House of Metaphysics and Psychic House.
That's
so she must be very psychic and probably very interested. Well, she's listening to this show, so she must be interested in metaphysics, but she's clearly got a metaphysical ability as well.
Yeah, she's co-hosting with me now on my show too, so she's even working.
Virgo is Virgo is a very earthy and practical energy, so it would want to make concrete the spiritual concepts involved in the eighth house. So yes, that is a signature for psychism and psychic ability, for sure. And especially with Venus in Virgo. The only problem, the tricky part with Venus in Virgo is, you know, that she can, she notices everything, especially pertaining to the eighth house. All eighth house issues, she would be very, very hyper-observant about those. You know, that could cause problems with other people, maybe. You know, especially love relationships. I have Venus in Virgo also, Julie. That's why I know I have some personal experience with this. And it can be tricky. It can lend one to a... towards having an unrealistic idea of one's partner.
Or hair color you want, I'm sorry.
I mean, and Julie also is kind of young. I'm not sure if she's even out of her 20s yet, so she still might be, you know, dealing with these formative...
She's 21.
These formative energies. Right, so these energies are still forming inside of her, so she still has to grow into them, so... You know, Pluto in the 8th house is interesting because that's the house he naturally rules.
You know, I didn't know Pluto's deals... a he. How come it's not a he?
As it's a god, it is a he. Like the
yeah,
right. Pluto the god.
I know, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, god goddess, they're all like collectively.
Well, well, that's just mythology. The energy of mythology.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing.
Yeah.
Pluto. Where's your Pluto placement? You're young. Yours is different than ours. It must
it be. It is. I have a Pluto in Libra in the fourth house, believe it or not. So I would be hard to live with that placement of Pluto. Here we have the god of death in the house of domesticity. So go figure. Here we have the god of hell in the house dealing with the domestic environment. So, you know, 2 and 2 still equals 4.
Well, but see, also, that's what I thought about my husband, but I can handle him. No.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that. Your Pluto placement shows where your source of power will be, and now I've, you know, developed my true power from working out of my home. So where Pluto's at in your chart is going to clue you in to the to a vast.
My Pluto. Energy. Wait a minute. My Pluto's in the ninth house. Let me see.
It's going to be in Leo. It has to be in Leo because of our age.
Right. It's a generational type of
thing. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, yeah, it is.
Yeah, ninth house. Your house placement is the only way to individualize how Pluto is available to you.
I don't remember mine. I'd have to look it up.
So, I'm a goner.
Far from it. Far from it. That's a very good placement for Pluto. You would make an excellent teacher. You'd make an excellent college professor with that sort of placement.
Well, I am a college professor.
Oh, well, look at there.
I'm joking. Likes to teach. Yeah, but that's interesting. You know what? Speaking of that, and we're just bantering, and I feel this is more like that, because that's, you guys, you know, I know something about astrology, but not like you got, you and Steve. But from what I understand, the higher the houses are, as I can recall, the more you have in the higher houses, it's more. And also, I have one of those Steve, I've sent you my information, Stephen. But the cross, is that what it's called?
Yes.
I have that in mind as a what do you call it?
It's either a grand trine or a grand cross. I believe you have a grand cross.
T square. Is it a T square?
It's a cross. It's a cross. I remember.
It is the grand cross. Okay.
Grand cross.
And it would also be a T-squared, too, incorporated into that. And, yeah, that's definitely a very powerful energy to deal with. The cross as a whole, any kind of cross, is a symbol of manifestation and concreteness, a symbol of realization. You know, so.
Hard lessons, huh?
I dare you to find the chart of a great person that is devoid of those hard lessons. You won't find it. In fact, when you look at a chart of someone who has nothing but favorable aspects and favorable energies, what you're often looking at is a chart of someone who's going to have an accident one day, or a chart of someone who is seriously, because at the energy that goes into having an accident, well, what we're talking
only
about
the
is
the good die young, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's well, so we're the bad. How about the bad?
If they're not going to take our bad selves, huh, Maureen?
No, I've got attention. Yeah. There's a devil. Oh, tulips! As the people are asking about this, well, this part of banter, like, what about planets at 29 degrees? So almost on the.
Yeah, those are the crisis degrees of a sign.
You're on top of it.
Yeah, my son is there. I know a lot about the crisis degrees of a sign. Just the planet is about to change state. It's about to change its environment. And so it's in a very queer half-light where it's has characteristics of the sign it's about to leave, and also it's beginning to adopt the lessons of the sign that it's about to enter. It's a very special placement. Very special. And it's often considered to be tricky. A tricky placement as well. So that's why they call them the crisis degrees. You know, so transitions are always, they generate friction. But the whole thing, the beautiful thing about astrology.
Conjunction.
Ma'am?
What about the nice ones?
Conjunction.
Those can go either way. It depends on the planetary energies involved in the sign placement. It depends on the house placement. It depends upon the person's ability to manifest that planet in a healthy way. It depends on
rise
a lot
of occasion. Yeah, rise of occasion.
Right. That conjunction, what it does, it facilitates the usage of those planetary energies. So if you have, for example, a conjunction of Saturn and Mars, then you're going to have an ability of blending Mars energy, the energy of aggression and assertiveness, with the authority of Saturn. You know, so this, it can be good or bad. You see, it all depends. I have Sun conjunct Venus in my birth chart, and it really leads to an identification of the other planetary principle involved. You know, it's very interesting stuff.
I love how it correlates so clearly with tarot as well. Yeah. Particularly how the planets and the signs of the zodiac correlate with the major arcana.
It's so true, absolutely. Steve. It really is. And that's how, actually, I was so into astrology when, 25-something years ago now. But that was before all the computerized. You had to do everything.
You had to do it by hand.
By hand. And
I had to do a chart by hand, and that teaches you about astrology.
That's how I learned. And then it was like, it was a wow or aha moment when the tarot, it was like, oh my gosh, all these universal signs, and numerology too, they all just fused into each other. They're all.
It's all in the tarot.
It's universal symbology, and it is.
Linked with the tarot.
Exactly, and I miss those days. I was so obsessed, and I still have all those old things, those old charts and the degrees, and I was like, being self-taught, it was more interesting.
Those palmistry things that you sent me, are those own charts?
No, that is. We're talking about this palm. No, it's made of. A business partner of mine years and years ago, he died. Anyway, he gave this to me. I've never seen anything like it. It's made of a hard a plexiglass. Is that what you call it? Like a mm-hmm. So it's no. It is something that it was patent pending. They probably didn't make any. It's just something. When I used to go to the Renaissance, Renaissance Fair up in L.A. Like the one you did out there in the original.
Yeah, the Southern California one.
Before they moved it. They moved it, didn't they, to somewhere
And it
else?
Was in Agora. Who did you talk to out there?
Oh, well, I used to go up there and do tarot. This was years ago. I used to bring, like, this thing and have it out so people could put their hands and entertain themselves while they're waiting for readings. You know, I just think it's a trip. But I couldn't give you – I was trying to show you. I'm telling everybody about this thing I have. You put your hand up in it, and it's clear. And then you couldn't really see – but it's in detail.
You were a reader in Agora, or you just went out there?
No, I used to do the Renaissance fairs out there, and we build this.
I did it for 15 years.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it's funny. We probably crossed paths.
What was your name? What's your stage name?
You know what? I didn't. I just used. No, I didn't use any stage name. I didn't. I never used a stage name. Maureen Tarot Visions. Maureen Tarot. I didn't. Wench.
Did you know any of the old timers up there? Like,
no, you know, it's interesting, Brenda. I ran across some of photos I found, and I forgot. My memory had even slipped.
Well, Madame LaRue, do you remember her, Madame LaRue?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I do. I do.
Yeah, Madame LaRue.
Now, this is the one before they took... they did move it, because for years into
they
the
moved
70s,
it. They moved it to right. Glen Helen, and then they moved it to Irwindale.
Okay, the one in the late 70s and 80s.
Yeah, that's right. Madame LaRue.
Yeah, God, and I found these old photos. They were great. They looked pretty good. And these guys, and it was just, and you had to do, and I've done them down here. You have to do everything by, you can't have any pull, anything showing. It has to be completely realistic. And I have this beautiful outfit that I paid a lot of money for, and the material was in the time period where you could only have certain, you know. And anyway, yeah, that was fun times. I wouldn't do that anymore.
Too. What about Sergei? Do you remember Sergei? He was doing palmistry. He was the guy who wore the Russian hat all the time.
Oh, gosh. You know Sergei? What? No, I don't remember by name, but you know what? I could very well... I was drinking a lot. I'm not kidding.
I know. There was like so many psychics.
So much.
And then dwindled, and there was only three of us, and now there's only two.
Yeah. I don't know. It was... you know, those were interesting times. And boys, you don't know about what we're talking about now. You can do this. Boys, we'll tell you someday this story. Anyway, that's all I have to say. The end.
Well, it's been a great show. Been a really good show. A great interview and good banter as well, and some good readings. And as I said, I'm really looking forward to your show next week, Stephen. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I came up with that show topic with you in mind, my friend. So, and yes. I hope you enjoy.
Can I ask you something about your show? Is it only about the United States, or is she going to talk about other countries?
Well, only insofar as they impinge upon the United States foreign policy, which shouldn't be too hard because America has a Sagittarian ascendant, so it's a foreign type of ascendant anyway. We're a nation of immigrants, all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Well, we've actually got another caller, but we should have Jessica come back sometime and do an overview of Iran as well. That would be interesting. But let's take another call, Maureen. We've got a call from Pennsylvania for you.
Oh, I'm sure. Hi, Pennsylvania. I think I know who this. Who's this?
Hi, Maureen. It's Cheryl.
I knew it was Cheryl from Pennsylvania. How are you, Cheryl?
Well, I had peer pressure to call in. No, just kidding.
Peer pressure. And what can I help you with, Cheryl?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thought today and self-reflection, and I've actually been listening to some past readings that I've had, and not only do I sound surprising how I sound on the air, but I didn't realize how fast I talk. But anyway, my question is regarding some synchronicities in my life, and I wanted to see if you picked up anything. For example, you know the situation that causes me the most stress with the dating factor, you know, the guy that I'm seeing right now is very similar to another situation I'm having with, I'm in the process of building a house and getting financing for that. And it, like, the ups and downs are almost parallel to the dating. Like, when I have a really good conversation with the guy, I feel really good. And then the next conversation, I'm questioning it and I feel more anxious, but, you know.
Okay, and I got it.
With the mortgage, it's the same exact thing. Like, I'll feel really good. Oh, it's going through. And then the next day, there's a glitch. Oh, my gosh. Now I have to get all this stuff ready for them. Okay, here you go. Okay, now it looks good. And then an hour, you know, not an hour, but, you know. And it's like they're parallel. And so the same thing happened today. I had a really good morning where the mortgage, everything looked good, and we were progressing. And, you know, the conversation I had this morning was really good, and I felt really, you know, and then by the end of the day, the mortgage company called, oh, we have another problem, not sure, we'll have to let you know tomorrow. And then, you know, the conversation on the ride home from work left me a little bit anxious with the dating thing. You know, do you understand what I mean?
No, I follow you, there's no doubt about that. Let me tell you what I'm getting, Cheryl. First of all, you have been carrying, in the past, and still kind of carrying over, a big load on your, I just sound so off, carrying a big burden on your back in every which way, with relationships, learning how to find or be attracted to the right one instead of the other ones that you give, you know, it's been exhausting, and they don't belong, all this stuff doesn't belong on your back. I do feel that it looks like you're kind of juggling two situations at one time, which makes things a little bit, you'll be indecisive about both. You're not confident in what you're doing. This is the thing I feel that you should focus on, because pretty soon the juggling act has to be over and just let everything go and let it go as it may. It's not about synchronicities, I don't feel you. It's about fear. It's about...
Exactly.
It's about not trusting yourself. It's about the thoughts in our mind. You know, all the thoughts. And, you know, I'm all one for that. You know, I am a walking example. Put out that negative thought, boy, it hits me. Or put out that tormenting or chaos, you know, the chaos. You know, Cheryl, really what I'm seeing, though, within the next 9 weeks, I see you very content and very happy with everything in the area that you're talking about personally. Well, personal, the house, building the house, very personal. You look well-fed, well, just at peace and happy, full of appreciation and gratitude and love. It's And I do see there's a lot of stuff going on. But I would like to encourage you, your dreams are going to be trying to kick your butt, and listen to them. Even if, you know, take your cell phone out and record what you're getting. Because if you don't remember, sometimes you have sleep, grab it and record it. Your dreams are just trying to be reflective and help you along. Cheryl, you're doing fine, but my feeling is this, like I said, you are juggling two situations at one time, but your mind, it's your mind that's making everything off. It's not a bad mind. You know, your thoughts of indecisiveness and not trusting yourself. And there's no need for that, Cheryl. But, you know, I understand why this is happening, but this is not the sync. You're making it synchrony. You know what? It's incredible what our minds can do, isn't it? Oh my gosh, it appears like synchronicities, but it's not, because. Do you follow what I mean by that?
I do. So basically, you know, I have to go with, okay, everything was really good this morning, and I was feeling really confident with both situations, and I guess my vulnerability got to me a little bit this afternoon with the last conversation, and I just kind of took it. It's my own fear, not what was actually going on. It's just my fear.
Exactly.
Like, oh, did I stutter when I was talking, or did I talk too fast?
Cheryl, you're exactly right. And this, all I can understand where this is coming from. Because you have this stuff that needs to be. You need to have a memorial for three major.
I need to put the last, I know exactly what you mean.
You do.
I need
you
to push them off the cliff.
Yes, and you know, really, you'll stay in that space and linger in there and you know what I mean, symbolically do what you must. I go to the beach. I suggest you do so. I don't care if it sounds funny, everybody, so there. It does, there's three of them. Write some paper. I'd go, you know, wherever you go, but I would do it to the beach. You lie and go and bury it and then honor it. For what it was and free yourself. I like I said, in the next 9 weeks, during this time period, things are going to be feeling much better. Just got to be used. Don't be fearless.
I think it's just the anxiety and like the house thing, not knowing, like, is it going through or not? Like, it's just anxiety.
Cheryl,
like, just get it over
whatever
with.
Your thoughts go into that negative lump, it won't. But, I mean, of course, I feel it is. Like I said, all in all, I see it's in 9 weeks, you are very content and happy.
Extremely. Okay, perfect.
So if you want to run yourself crazy during this spirit time, you have a choice. I hope you don't choose to do so.
That'll be breaking a pattern too, right?
you're being self-aware. I know you are. And just when you stop, and then stop yourself, look up the word tapping on YouTube. Tapping. Look up the word tapping on YouTube, and there's some great videos on what you can do that will help you come back into a better thought place. It's called tapping. Just put tapping.
Tapping,
yes, you'll find it. I feel really good. Okay?
Awesome.
Thanks,
Cheryl. Well, thank you. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, please do. Bye. Have a great night.
Okay, bye. Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Maureen. It was a great reading and a nice end to our show. Well, I'm looking forward to our show next week, and that will be a lot of fun. So please do join us for that. We'll have Jessica Murray with us. I always say Murray. I'm not sure why, because it's actually pronounced Murray. But I always seem to make that mistake. I want to thank you all for listening in this evening, and thank you to Doug, who takes care of us behind the scenes, keeps us on track as our executive producer. I want to wish you all a wonderful weekend and look forward to you joining us next Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, as always. And over to my co-host to say their goodbyes.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Adieu.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda,
If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.